Well, good morning once again, Next Level Church. As I said before, my name is Joseph McMurray, and it's a joy for me to be one of the pastors here at Next Level, and it's an equal joy for me to have the opportunity to share God's Word with you. Pastor Clay is traveling this weekend. He and his boys are on a college visit. They'll be traveling back today, so I would encourage you to pray for them as they travel. My understanding is maybe they had a couple of close calls yesterday, so we certainly want to pray for their protection as they travel back and get back here to join us. So, as I have said many, many times, it's a thrill for me to get to open God's Word and to share from it. And so this morning, I want us just to jump right in and read this passage of Scripture that we're really going to be studying for these next few minutes together. And it is Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It says this, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety." We're going to read that verse several times this morning, but I want us to read it again, and I want you to listen and think about maybe what this verse represents in your own life. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. When Pastor Clay shared with me that it was going to be my turn to preach again on November 4th, I thought, cool. I love to preach, and I'm thankful for the opportunities that I have to do that here at Next Level. And then he said, yeah, we're going to preach through a series about relationships, and we're going to talk about the different ways in which people sabotage their relationships. And again, I thought, well, cool. People are notorious for sabotaging their relationships. And then he said, yeah, November 4th is going to be about how people sabotage their relationships because of fear of rejection. And I thought, not cool. It would be so much easier and better for me to get to stand up here and point out how other people sabotage their relationships. But fear of rejection hits way too close to home. For me, I have to confess that I am a habitual people pleaser. I don't want a show of hands, but maybe you can relate. For most of my life, I have been way more concerned about what other people think of me than just about anything else. As far back as I can remember, I've been conscious of and concerned with what other people think of me. It's never been a debilitating thing. I've always been able to interact with others and put on a confident facade. But in the back of my mind, there's always been this concern, this intense longing to be liked and to be accepted and to be appreciated. And I've always compared myself to others to determine how I measure up. As a kid, I was so afraid that someone was going to make fun of my clothes or my shoes or my hair. I had hair back then. That I would sabotage my relationships with others by making fun of their clothes and their shoes and their hair. Because I felt self-conscious. Now, thankfully, I've matured past some of that, but I would be lying if I said that I don't still play the comparison game from time to time. Now, before this morning's 9:30 service, I had never shared this in a public setting, mostly because of my fear of rejection. But this fear has plagued my professional career as well. Before coming to Next Level, I spent 12 years in full-time ministry. And in that time, I was blessed to see the Lord work in the churches and the ministries that I served. And I had really cool opportunities as a young guy to begin working at a small church and see the Lord work and grow a ministry. And then I was invited to go to a little bit bigger church, and I had incredible opportunities to see the Lord work and grow a ministry. And then I ended up at a fairly large church, running student ministry and family ministries. And I could tell you the number of students and families to whom I was ministering, but that's not really important to this conversation. What is important to this conversation is that even though in my particular field I was experiencing success, I continued to struggle with the fear of rejection. It was for no good reason, but that's how fear of rejection works. And again, while I was experiencing success in my field, I began to compare myself to other guys at similar churches to mine who were doing the same type of ministry that I was doing. And when I compared their churches and their ministries to the things that were happening at my church and in my ministry, I became discouraged. I became dissatisfied. I became disillusioned. I had some unrealistic expectations, and I made some faulty assumptions, and I believed some lies that were only true in my own imagination. Long story short, I have sabotaged relationships. I've sabotaged success to some degree. I've sabotaged the prospects of what could have been a cakewalk of a future for my family and me because of my fear of rejection. Now, I tell you all of this not so that you'll feel sorry for me. I'm thankful for what I have learned, and I'm thankful for how I have grown as a person and as a follower of Jesus. I can tell you, this is not in my notes, I feel more free today than I've ever felt in my entire life. But I tell you this not so that you'll feel sorry for me, but so that you'll understand that what I share with you today is not theory based on something I've read. What I share with you today is personal, based on something I've lived. And what I hope you'll see today is that on our own, we are doomed to sabotage the relationships in our lives. But when we live in light of who Jesus says we are, we find freedom and safety in Him. I do want you to know that I am in recovery. Even as I have prepared to preach today, and I will tell you, even as I have prepared any of the previous times you have heard me, my sincere prayer to God has been that I would fight the desire to please you and to be liked by you and to be accepted by you, and instead pray that what I would share would please God. You know why? Because trying to please all of you, living in the fear of rejection, is a trap. But there's freedom in trusting in the Lord. So, I don't want a show of hands, but I would be willing to bet that I am not the only one in this room who struggles with the fear of rejection. I bet a lot of us worry and wonder about what other people think about us. I bet many of us want desperately to be liked, to be loved, to be accepted. I bet there are some of us who subconsciously compare ourselves to others all the time. We want to know how we measure up. We want to know what people think of us, if we're good enough to meet their expectations. When we compare ourselves to others, we fall into a dangerous trap. We do this in relationships when it comes to our finances, our possessions, our marriages, our advancement at work, our children, our abilities, even our faith. Why do we compare ourselves to others so much? It may be because of our fear of rejection. If we only had as much money as that person we know, then they would accept us. If we only had more stuff or that certain stuff that those people have, then those people would think we're important. If our kids were as respectful and obedient as their kids, then people would think we are good parents. If we could just have the kind of prayer life or Bible study life or faith in God that she has or that he has, then somebody might think we're spiritual. You know, this goes the other way as well. For some of us, we don't feel dissatisfied. We feel something worse, superior. Some of us look at the people around us and think they're a little less successful, or they're a little less educated, or they're a little less talented. And this, in some twisted way, makes us feel good. It makes us even a little proud. And we know we shouldn't feel that way, but we can't help it. I think this is one of the main reasons that reality television is such a draw. Because it feels good, even for just a little while, to feel better than someone else. And I don't know about you, but I have certainly sat on the couch and watched some reality television and thought, well, at least I'm better than those people. The bottom line is this, and if you don't remember anything else I say before you walk out of this room this morning, I want you to remember this. When you play the comparison game, nobody wins. When you play the comparison game, nobody wins. Let's look again at Proverbs 29, verse 25. And as I said before, we're going to read this a few times this morning as we study it together. It says this, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety." There was a book that was published a long time ago, 1993, a self-help book called Super Self was published by a guy named Charles Gibbons. And in this book, Charles Gibbons writes that of the top 12 fears man faces, number one is the fear of human beings. We fear performing in front of them. We fear speaking in front of them. We fear working in front of them. Why? Because we're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of being laughed at, ridiculed, belittled, abandoned, unfriended. We're afraid of being rejected. This morning, I want to look at several passages of Scripture that help us understand this fear that we have of rejection, which can cause us to sabotage the relationships in our lives. First, let's look at the cause of fear. There are several causes of fear that I want you to see, but the first one is the thoughts of others. Most people wonder what other people are thinking. Out of fear, those people alter their behavior to avoid being rejected. I've done it. I would be willing to bet that many of you have done it. Because we don't know what someone else is thinking, we do something differently than we normally would so that, or at least in our minds, so that they won't reject us. Listen to what John wrote about some early believers who never professed faith in Jesus because of their fear of rejection. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43 says this, "Many people did believe in him," that is Jesus, "however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God." Did you catch that? Even some of the people who experienced Jesus while he walked on the earth kept their faith a secret for fear of being rejected by the religious leaders. One of the ways fear is caused is by the thoughts of others, or the assumed thoughts of others. And what we usually don't realize is that they're probably wondering what we're thinking too. The second cause of fear I want you to see is the taunts of others. We know what people are capable of, and we know how they are capable of making us feel. Even if someone has no intention of judging or belittling us, we can project our fear onto them in such a way that it feels like they're taunting us. I don't care how old you are it's likely that you have experienced a relationship where it feels like the other person is looking back at you like this. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Let's face it. Sometimes people in our relationships are taunting us because it's just the kind of people they are. But whether true or assumed, the taunts of others can cause us to fear rejection. There's a story in the Old Testament. It's a great book. I recommend it. It's called Nehemiah. And in the story of Nehemiah, there was a small group of Jewish people led by Nehemiah who were working to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which had been destroyed and burned by their enemies. And there's a character in the story named Sanballat, who is governor of Samaria. He has no interest in Jerusalem being rebuilt because the rebuilding of Jerusalem would mean they would return to prosperity. He wants nothing to do with Jerusalem returning to prosperity. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says this: Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're going to do? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that?" Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was Sanballat's buddy, was standing beside him and remarked, "That stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked along the top of it." I've been around people like Sanballat and Tobiah the Ammonite, who run their mouths, who doubt and throw shade on the things that I want to do, the things I'm determined to do. And you have too. We call these people naysayers. And it makes me mad that I allow those people to cause me to second guess myself. Can I really do that thing on my own? Whatever it is? Can we really get 300 people to show up on this campus for a fall festival? Nope. But you know what? We serve a God who can make 900 people show up on this campus for a fall festival and remind us that he is worthy of our worship. Can you fix your marriage on your own? Nope. And the naysayers will tell you that you've really messed it up this time. It's beyond repair. You better cut your losses and move on. And the taunts of others will make us believe the lies that the enemy is telling. But guess what? The same God who gave Nehemiah and his small group of people from Israel, the same God who gave them everything they needed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 58 days, is the same God who wants to give you what it takes to rebuild your marriage. Don't let the taunts of others, don't let the taunts of the naysayers keep you from trusting in God. He is the only one capable of restoring and healing your broken relationship. The third cause of fear that I want you to see is the threats of others. I don't know what this looks like in your relationships, but maybe it's a spouse or a family member who says, "If you do X or if you don't do X, then I'm going to do Y." And in a lot of cases, Y equals leave. Now, in my experience, the threats of others, whether expressed or implied, have been things like, "You need to do things this certain way," or, "We're going to take away your freedom in making decisions," or, "We're going to keep you from doing something specific that you enjoy doing and find a lot of value in." Maybe you've experienced something similar with a boss at work. Do you know that insecure micromanagers love to make threats? And when we're trapped in fear of rejection, we cower because of that fear. Why? Because either we have forgotten or we didn't already know that fear is a trap and to trust in the Lord is safety. I want you to think back to the story of David and Goliath. There's a good chance that somewhere along your life, you've heard this story. We've got scrawny teenage shepherd boy versus giant Philistine warrior. And when they finally make it to the battlefield in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath threatens David. Listen in verse 43. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David. "That you come at me with a stick? Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." Long story short, David says, "Nope. Because this is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Likelihood is, you know the story. Goliath took a stone to the forehead, fell down face first. And in a strange turn of events that he wasn't expecting when he woke up that day, he was decapitated by his own sword. Am I telling you to face the threats of others in your life with slingshots and swords? No, I'm not. I'm telling you that one of the causes of our fear of rejection is the threats of others. But when we trust in the Lord, he fights our battles for us. As I was driving into the church this morning, I heard a song on the radio that said, "Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles." And I thought, man, it would be incredible if we could sing that song together this morning. And I walked in and the band was rehearsing that song and I was like, thank you, Lord. Our God is a lion, Lion of Judah, who's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Do you know that that is true for you? You don't have to fight the battle on your own because he fights the battle for us. Now, you can certainly choose to fight the battle on your own. There's plenty of historical, biblical examples of what happened when the children of Israel went into battle without the Lord. Let me just tell you, it didn't go well. Some of the causes of fear are the thoughts of others, the taunts of others, and the threats of others. So let's take a quick look at the cost of fear. Proverbs 29:25 says, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap." So one of the costs of fear is that of being trapped. Listen to 2 Peter 2:19. Now, 2 Peter 2:19 is a passage that's dealing with false teachers. And it says, verse 19, "They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you." If you're controlled by a fear of rejection, then you are a slave to that fear. You are trapped. And friend, I've been there. We all know how a mousetrap works. Something that seems good entices this fuzzy little critter to get closer and closer. He sniffs. And he looks and he thinks those stupid humans have left a perfectly good glob of peanut butter or cheese just laying around. And the mouse thinks, this is going to be like taking candy from a baby. And he touches that bait. And if you have it set correctly, wham! That spring-loaded mechanism pops and it snaps that mouse's neck. Now clearly we are not mice. And we don't live in a world where there are obvious traps like big spring-loaded mechanisms filled with cheese. We're way too smart for that. But I have news, friends. We're not too smart to step into traps. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. And the bait has already been set. Now, I'm sure that there are other effective baits, but I can tell you from my life, the bait in the trap is expectations, assumptions, and lies that we imagine to be true but are not. When it comes to expectations, these are the expectations that we have of others to be and do and say all the right things to make us feel accepted and wanted and approved. And the expectations that we have of ourselves to be and do and say the right things to deliver those same feelings to someone else. And this, friends, is bait in the trap. Because we fear that if those expectations are not met, we will be rejected. When it comes to assumptions, you know what happens when you assume. You just spell it out. A-S-S-U-M-E. When you assume, you make one of those out of you and me. We might make assumptions that other people are going to see things the way we see things. And we might also make assumptions that people automatically do not see things the way we see things. And rather than actually communicating about those things and learning what someone else's thoughts and opinions are and why they see things that way, we might just operate under assumptions. This is bait in that we fear that if our assumptions are wrong, then we can't possibly get along or work alongside that other person. And then there are the lies we imagine to be true. This is another bait in the trap of rejection. The devil is the father of lies. And in whatever relationship you are living in the fear of rejection, he wants nothing more than for you to believe that you will never be enough. He wants you to believe that you will never be enough. You'll never be smart enough, or rich enough, or good enough, or thin enough, or fit enough, or experienced enough, or eloquent enough, or driven enough, or wise enough, or educated enough, or religious enough, or resilient enough, or passionate enough, or sorry enough. Enough. These are lies. When those expectations are not met, when our assumptions bite us in the ass, assumption. When we believe the lies that the enemy tells us about us, wham! Spring-loaded mechanism pops and snaps the neck of any chance we might have had of a healthy relationship. See, the cost of fear is being trapped, a slave to the fear of rejection. But there's a cure. The cure for fear. Listen to how Proverbs 29:25 ends. It says, but trusting the Lord means safety. Psalm 56, verses 1 through 4, a psalm written by David, the same David that killed Goliath. He says, O God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. Anybody ever been hounded? I have. My foes attack me all day long. I'm constantly hounded by those who slander me. Many are boldly attacking me. But when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? See, the cure for fear, and specifically for this fear of rejection, is to trust in the Lord. Easier said than done, right? Why? Is it because trusting in the Lord seems too easy? Like there's more I should do? Is it because that's the church answer? Listen, I am as opposed to the church answer always being right as anyone else. But in this case, the church answer is definitely the right answer. Watch this. What happens every time you choose your way over God's way? Let me remind you. Your way usually involves selfishness, pride, anger, impatience, and hostility. God's way involves grace, mercy, forgiveness, kindness, and love. Now, you tell me which sounds like the better cure for fear of rejection. My way loses. God's way wins. My pride doesn't want me to admit that, and neither does yours, but it's true. So how does all of this apply to your relationships? When you live in fear of rejection, you do and say things out of fear of rejection rather than out of genuine care and love. Whether we're talking about marriage or dating or friendship, extended family, business partnerships, relationships with coworkers, and all of these and more, living in fear of rejection is a great way to sabotage that relationship. If you're one who is constantly comparing yourself to the people around you to see how you measure up, you may not know it, but that's fear of rejection. When you play the comparison game, nobody wins. Your tendency may be to set unrealistic expectations that no one can meet. You may make assumptions that result in disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. You may also believe the lies that the enemy is telling you about yourself and about the other people or person involved. I'm telling you, watch out, because it's a trap. I'm telling you as a brother who has lived it, it's a trap. And the only way to keep from sabotaging our relationships is to trust the Lord with those relationships. Trusting the Lord with your relationships is not a passive thing. You don't just wake up one day and decide, you know what, God, I think I'll just trust you with all my relationships. Done. No more fear. No, trusting the Lord with your relationships is an active pursuit. It is a battle that is fought in prayer and in community with other believers. You want an action point to walk out with today? I want you to try this. When you think of fear of rejection, when you think of that relationship on which you're always walking on eggshells, waiting for the other shoe to drop, always wondering what that other person is thinking, I would be willing to bet that there's probably a face that pops into your head or a group of faces. Here's what I want you to do. If you're gonna trust the Lord with those relationships, beginning today, I want you to pray for that person or for those people by name. And I want you to pray that the Lord would bless them and that the Lord would give them favor. And then I want you to pray that God would fight the battle for you and give you the strength to trust him so that you don't have to be trapped by fear. What if we trusted in God more than we trusted in ourselves? What if we thought less about people's opinions of us and more about God's infinite love for us? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us as Christ followers, we have an incredible ability to trust God with those relationships in our lives, to trust God with the expectations that we're setting, to trust God with the assumptions that we're making, to trust God that what he says about us is true and that what the devil says about us are lies. As we close, I want you to listen to what God says about us in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Here it is. You ready? Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Friends, we're no longer slaves to fear. We allow our expectations and our assumptions and believing the lies that are being told to us to bait us into the trap of fear, but that is not what God desires for you or for me. We are no longer slaves. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are no longer a slave to fear, but you are a child of God. May we walk in the confidence of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we who are in Christ are no longer slaves, but we are children of God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I thank you that even though I struggle with this fear of rejection, even though we struggle with this fear of rejection, God, I thank you that your word tells us there is a cure. And even though it may not be a simple cure, God, you have provided that cure for us by giving us direct access to you, that we can bring to you whatever it is that is trapping us and enslaving us today and saying, God, would you fight this battle for me? I cannot do it on my own. Give us the confidence, God, to know that you will. That it's by the power of your Holy Spirit in us, for those who are in Christ, that we can say, I do not carry this burden alone. I do not fight this battle alone, but the Lion of Judah fights my battle. Father, for anyone who's in this room today who has not crossed over from darkness to light, from death to life by trusting in Jesus alone for salvation, I pray that today would be the day they would recognize that their sin is what separates them from you, and that repenting of that sin, turning from it, and trusting you to cover it by your righteousness, committing to follow you is the way to salvation. Would you stir and move in hearts today, Heavenly Father? And for us, your children, give us the strength to pray for those who we fear. Would you bless them? Would you give them favor? And would you give us the strength to allow you to fight our battle? In Jesus' name.